Welcome back to Music for Life, exploring the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. Today's episode is titled Music for Seasons, and in it we have been exploring music written to represent the four seasons. Not just Antonio Vivaldi's four violin concerti that were written to depict each season, but other examples from music history. We have been going in seasonal order, and we just ended with Summer. The recording we were using for Summer was recently released by Deutsche Grammophon, and it features the Venice Baroque Orchestra with mandolinist Avi Avital. Avi will be our interview subject for this episode's Backstage Banter segment, a portion of the program where we interview performers on the concert circuit today for their perspectives on music. I talked with Avi over the phone while he was touring Europe. So here is that interview where he talks about his journey with this epic masterpiece.
One of the first classical music pieces I remember listening to was Summer by Vivaldi. I remember that my parents had the LP in our home, and all I could know is that the piece on this LP was called The Four Seasons, and that I really, really liked it and asked my parents always to play it for me. And also that there was one season that in particular way I enjoyed listening and asked for it again and again. But I was absolutely 100% sure it was winter. I called it winter, at least, until years after, to my great embarrassment, I discovered it was summer, of course, all the time. The summer of Vivaldi in the fourth season is not what we imagine when we think of our next vacation in Venice. Riding the gondola, eating a gelato. It's a very dramatic summer. You hear from the music the wind and the thunderstorm and the hail falling from the sky. I guess that's why, as a kid, I interpret this very wintry music as I was.
And how old were you?
I was maybe 4 or 5, and growing up in Beersheba, pretty much maybe like Oklahoma, it doesn't rain really in the summer.
Right.
From all the four seasons, it is still my favorite because it is very dramatic summer and it's a very dramatic topic. In fact, it's the only season of Vivaldi's fourth season that doesn't speak strictly about nature, but it speaks about a human being. The sonnet that is attached to the summer speaks about a shepherd, his feelings, his fear and anxiety towards the unknown, the unexpected thunderstorm that he can see in the horizon. And it makes it a very dramatic and very deep piece. I really try to capture that in my interpretation, to make it a very dramatic summer, a very dramatic piece and very unexpected. Every piece that I choose to arrange from other instruments to the mandolin, I try to think why I do it. Speaking of this extremely famous violin concerto, probably the most recognizable violin concerto in the world, the element that I was trying to capture is I remember the first time I listened to Summer of Vivaldi, even though it's a vague memory because I was a little kid, but it left a very huge impression on me. And I think that everyone can say that, even if they don't remember, about the first time you hear and experience this masterpiece. That must have been a moment. I believe with interpreting on different instruments, with interpreting on a mandolin, playing it on a mandolin, I was trying to create to the audience that kind of feeling. Playing it with a different instrument, with a mandolin, allows it to hear it again with a very fresh ear, and hopefully to discover it again with an unconditioned ear. This is something that was repeated, that I heard from many people, that for them it was rediscovering the piece, and this is, I guess, the most amazing compliment I could have wished for.
You are listening to Music for Life. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. Today we are discussing Music for Seasons, the four standard seasons of spring, summer, autumn, and winter, as have been depicted in compositions throughout music history. This idea of music for each season goes back into biblical times, based on some unique directives in a handful of the Psalms. For a deeper discussion on this, let's move now into our Sounds of Scripture segment, where we survey the Bible's many references to music for a longer sweeping historical perspective on our episode's theme. Songs that contain references to the various seasons are numerous, and this is even true of the musical repertoire of biblical times. The Song of All Songs, or the Song of Solomon, makes constant references to the dawning of spring and the emergence of new life. It talks about the winter being over and refers often to the flowers of springtime. This is partly why the Jews still read this biblical book in the Passover or spring season each year. But there are other musical compositions in the Bible that seem to reference a seasonal element in them. They can be found in the Psalms. And if you have a King James version of the Bible, you'll notice that many of the Psalms have inscriptions just before verse 1, indicating an occasion, an authorship, maybe a dedication, or even a way to perform the psalm. These inscriptions are part of the original Hebrew text. Some of these terms were so puzzling to the translators that they didn't even translate them, they just transliterated the Hebrew words into English letters. Two of these Hebrew words seem to indicate psalms written for two seasons in particular, one being the spring or early harvest season, and one being the autumn or latter harvest season. The inscription of Psalm 8 reads in the King James Version, "To the chief musician upon Gittit, a psalm of David." This reference to Gittit also appears in Psalm 81, a psalm of Asaph, and Psalm 84, one attributed to the sons of Korah. The inscription of Psalm 45 reads, "To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah, Maskil, a song of loves." This Hebrew word is also used in the inscription of Psalm 69, a psalm of David, and a variant of Shoshanim is used in Psalm 60, which reads, "To the chief musician upon Shushanedut," and Psalm 80, which says, "To the chief musician upon Shoshanemedut." Gittit means winepress, and Shoshanim means lilies. Jacinius's Hebrew Chaldee lexicon supposes each to be a specific instrument to be used in these psalms, the latter perhaps a trumpet-like instrument since it looked like a lily. But this is a strange interpretation since the Bible nowhere else mentions these instruments. Everywhere else Shoshanim is used, it's talking about the actual flowers. Jacinius also suggests that Gittit could be a song used at vintage time, which would be the autumn. Alfred Sendri comments on both these terms in his book Music in Ancient Israel. He discusses how the word Shoshanim was used for spring flowers in general. It was probable that the Hebrews referred to the spring and fall seasons as the lily season and the vintage season, respectively. Shoshanim and Gittit belong to nature and agriculture. They represent flowers and fruit, one telling us of spring, the other of autumn. Passover was the spring feast, Tabernacles the autumn feast. So Sendri concludes that, quote, "The Shoshanim Psalms belong to the festival of Passover, the Gittit Psalms to the festival of Tabernacles," unquote. And if you look at the context of these psalms, this fits that conclusion. Psalm 45 is a song of loves or a wedding song, and is fitting for the day of Pentecost, which concludes the spring harvest and commemorates the marriage covenant between God and his people. Another Shoshanim psalm, Psalm 69, is full of prophecies about the first coming of the Messiah, who is represented by the Passover lamb. This psalm is referenced in the New Testament even, in the lead-up to Jesus' execution, when he came to Jerusalem and found the money changers in the temple. His reaction there caused the disciples to remember Psalm 69, which says, "For the zeal of your house has eaten me up." And verses 20 and 21 of that same psalm foretell of his crucifixion. Psalm 60 and Psalm 80 also relate to the meaning of the spring festival season. Psalm 80 is about God leading Israel like a flock out of Egypt, verses 1 and 7. As for the Gittit or vintage season psalms, the reference to an autumn high day is obvious in Psalm 81, verse 3, which reads, "Blow up the trumpet or shofar in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day." The only feast day on a new moon is the first day of the seventh month, known as the Feast of Trumpets, right at the beginning of the fall season. The prominent feast of the fall season is the eight-day Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles. Psalm 84, verse 1, proclaims, "How amiable are thy tabernacles!" It discusses the joys of being where God places his name, the praises that emanate from such a place, and that a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. This is a psalm that I set to music, and based on the Hebrew word Gittit, I titled this piece An Autumn Psalm. Here it is performed by soprano Paula Malone, and we will hear that to finish our segment, Sounds of Scripture. Oh.
perfect shield, and look on thine anointed's face. One day with thee more joy doth yield than thousands could without thy grace. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who dwells.
You are listening to Music for Life. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. Today we are discussing music for seasons, the four standard seasons, as they have been depicted in compositions throughout music history. That was a composition of mine, an autumn psalm, performed by my wife, Paula Malone. It was based on a psalm that the inscription says was for the vintage or autumn season, as we just discussed in our Sounds of Scripture segment. Autumn has been commonly represented in compositions throughout music history. Before we go back to Vivaldi's representation of the seasons, let's listen to a portion of a beautiful art song composed by Richard Strauss. This is part of his final set of Lieder, or songs, his four last songs. This piece is titled September, which is a German word meaning September. The poem being set talks about the rain falling coolly on the garden flowers, and leaf upon leaf dropping down. And I'm going to play just the opening of this, where you can hear the descending violin lines that depict the falling of the rain and the falling of the leaves. That was the fashion with German art song or Lieder, was the music was to depict the text being sung, that device known as text painting or word painting. This is an obvious way composers would depict a season in a particular song. And we're going to listen to a recording by Rene Fleming with the Houston Symphony Orchestra and conductor Christoph Eschenbach. This is just a portion of it. We'll actually listen to another movement from this set of Strauss songs later by the same artists. So that was just a portion of Richard Strauss's September. Today on Music for Life, we are talking about music that was written to depict the different seasons of the year and the various elements, ideas, and images encapsulated in those seasons. We've been using Antonio Vivaldi's four concerto set, The Four Seasons, as the centerpiece of this program. So let's return to that. In his Concerto for Autumn, Vivaldi bases the first of the three movements on this section of his autumn sonnet. It reads, "The peasant celebrates with song and dance the harvest safely gathered in. The cup of Bacchus, or the wine, basically, flows freely, and many find their relief in deep slumber." This movement is marked allegro, meaning quick or lively. When we heard the spring concerto in the first half of this program, we listened to a traditional violin concerto recording. But then when we listen to summer, we listen to mandolinist Avi Avital's version. For autumn, let's listen to a version by Yolanda Condonassis playing the solo part on a harp alongside the traditional orchestra parts. When you hear the opening, that represents the dancing of the peasants. Then when you hear the quick descending passages, that is to represent someone who is enjoying the cup of wine a bit too much. And then you'll hear very obviously where people fall asleep after all the festivities. So let's hear the first movement of autumn from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. That was the first movement of Antonio Vivaldi's violin concerto, Autumn. But the violin solo part was performed on the harp by Yolanda Condonassis. We're listening to her recording for this particular season. As we move into the second movement, the slow movement marked Adagio Molto, or Very Slow, we have this text of Vivaldi's sonnet being depicted by the music. It reads, "The singing and the dancing die away as cooling breezes fan the pleasant air, inviting all to sleep without a care." So this movement very simply represents sleeping in the cool breeze of autumn. Finally, the third movement of Autumn by Antonio Vivaldi, marked Allegro, is lively and bold, depicting this part of Vivaldi's Autumn sonnet. It reads, "The hunters emerge at dawn, ready for the chase, with horns and dogs and cries. Their quarry flees while they give chase. Terrified and wounded, the prey struggles on, but harried dies." The opening theme of the soloist and orchestra are supposed to depict the sounds of horns. Then we hear this. That's the part where the sonnet speaks of the prey appearing and the chase being on. Then the part where the prey is wounded and falls and dies is depicted by these descending passages in the solo part. So here is the third and final movement of Vivaldi's Autumn Concerto, performed by harpist Yolanda Condonassis with the Orchestra of Flanders. Thank you. You are listening to Music for Life. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. Today we are discussing music for seasons, the four standard seasons of the year as they've been depicted and described in compositions of music throughout history. That was the third and final movement of Vivaldi's Autumn Concerto, performed by harpist Yolanda Condonassis with the Orchestra of Flanders. We are using Vivaldi's Four Seasons as the centerpiece for this episode. But there are other great pieces written throughout music history to depict the four various seasons of the year. Some of those pieces were actually inspired by Vivaldi's work. One of those can only barely be referred to as being part of music history because it was written just back in 2009. That work is titled Violin Concerto No. 2 and subtitled The American Four Seasons, composed by one of the most respected American fine art composers alive today, Philip Glass. Philip Glass was born in 1937 and grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. He also studied with Nadia Boulanger, who we talked about earlier when we discussed Piazzolla. Because of his compositional style, Philip Glass is one of the composers commonly associated with the term minimalism, a style that Glass prefers to call music with repetitive structures. Minimalism in music includes prolonged chordal and melodic lines with very few subtle note changes throughout. It can also include the simplification of rhythm, patterns, and harmony. The music Glass wrote can be heard in opera houses, concert halls, and in films like Koyaanisqatsi, Kundun, parts of the Truman Show soundtrack, and parts of the most recent Fantastic Four movie. Like Vivaldi's work, Glass's American Four Seasons is a violin concerto. He wrote it for violinist Robert McDuffie, who we will hear performing a portion of it here. Philip Glass said this, "When the music was completed, I sent it on to Bobby, who seemed to have quickly seen how the movements of my Concerto No. 2 related to the seasons. Of course, Bobby's interpretation, though similar to my own, proved to be also somewhat different. This struck me as an opportunity, then, for the listener to make his or her own interpretation. Therefore, there will be no instructions for the audience, no clues as to where spring, summer, winter, and fall might appear in the new concerto. An interesting, though not worrisome, problem for the listener. After all, if Bobby and I are not in complete agreement, an independent interpretation can be tolerated and even welcomed." That was a quote from Philip Glass. So I'm playing a bit of it here, the final movement, and here I'm playing it between our discussion of autumn and winter, but you can decide for yourself which season you think this might represent. Here is again the final movement of Violin Concerto No. 2 called The American Four Seasons, performed by violinist Robert McDuffie and the London Symphony Orchestra. Thank you. We are talking today on Music for Life about music that was written to depict the different seasons of the year and the various elements, ideas, and images encapsulated in those seasons. And we've been going in seasonal order in terms of how we structure this episode. We've mainly been using Antonio Vivaldi's set of four violin concerti, The Four Seasons, as the centerpiece of this program. So let's return to that. I've also played you different arrangements and transcriptions of Vivaldi's Summer and Autumn. We heard it on a mandolin and harp, respectively. But I want to return to the traditional violin concerto format, the Itzhak Perlman recording we used at the beginning with Spring, so we can use that in our discussion of Winter. Remember that Vivaldi wrote a set of sonnets about each season, and he structured the music to explicitly depict these descriptions of the seasons. He split each season's sonnets into three parts, one for each movement of each three-movement concerto. Here's the portion of the Winter Sonnet used in the first movement of Winter. Shivering, frozen, mid the frosty snow, in biting, stinging winds, running to and fro to stamp one's icy feet, teeth chattering in the bitter chill. This movement is marked allegro non molto, fast but not too much. You can hear the shivering depicted by the short repeated trills in the violin solo part that's right at the beginning. Then when the violin begins these descending arpeggios, that represents the stinging winds. Then later we hear the stamping feet. Then we hear the chattering teeth. So let's hear that all together. This is the first movement of Antonio Vivaldi's Winter Concerto, performed by violinist Itzhak Perlman and the London Philharmonic Orchestra. So that was the first movement of Antonio Vivaldi's Winter Concerto, performed by violinist Itzhak Perlman and the London Philharmonic Orchestra. We could hear how Vivaldi was depicting the portion of his winter sonnet that discussed chattering teeth and stomping of the icy feet, as well as elements like stinging winds and the shivering caused by such freezing temperatures. For the second movement, marked Largo, the sonnet reads, "To rest contentedly beside the hearth, while those outside are drenched by pouring rain." We've actually heard this in a previous episode, talking about the sweet sounds of the violin solo as it represents the warmth of being inside by the fire, and the pizzicato, or plucked strings, of the orchestra depicting the falling rain outside. So here's just a little bit of that movement. You are listening to Music for Life. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. Today we are discussing music for seasons, the four standard seasons as they've been depicted in music compositions. We've been using Vivaldi's Four Seasons as a centerpiece to our discussion. We're finally at the last movement of this epic four concerto set. The sonnet Vivaldi wrote about this aspect of winter goes like this. "We tread the icy path slowly and cautiously for fear of tripping and falling, then turn abruptly, slip, crash on the ground, and rising, hasten on across the ice lest it cracks up. We feel the chill north winds course through the home despite the locked and bolted doors. This is winter, which nonetheless brings its own delights." This last movement is marked Allegro, and the opening of the movement is supposed to depict the act of walking carefully on the ice, the fears of slipping and falling. And instead of me playing the snippets of where the music represents falling to the ground, let's see if you can't notice that when you listen to this movement. I imagine you can also hear where the ice cracks. And then a slower section, which represents the wind howling around the bolted doors. And then the return to the fast tempo, which depicts the final summarizing line of the sonnet, "This is winter, which nonetheless brings its own delights." So here is the third movement of Vivaldi's Winter Concerto.
Thank you.
That was the third and final movement of Antonio Vivaldi's Winter Concerto. It was performed by violinist Itzhak Perlman and the London Philharmonic Orchestra. We have been using Vivaldi's Four Seasons as the centerpiece for today's episode, Music for Seasons. But we've been discussing other great moments of music history that were composed to describe the various seasons of the year. Winter is a common theme in the standard music repertoire. I want to play two other examples that evoke images of winter. One is an etude by Frédéric Chopin. Its fiercely difficult descending passages for the pianist earned it the nickname Winter Wind. Here is a portion of that performed by Maurizio Pollini. That was a portion of a recording by Maurizio Pollini performing Chopin's Winter Wind Etude. We are talking about music that evokes images of winter. Let's hear a song by Richard Strauss from the same set we heard earlier. We heard September before. Now let's hear the first of the set. It's titled Frühling or Spring, but it's not really about spring. It's about being in the dead of winter, longing for the time when spring comes again. So this is a fitting final example of our discussion, since it discusses winter and brings us full circle back to the first season of the year. So here is Renee Fleming again singing Frühling from the Four Last Songs by Richard Strauss. You are listening to Music for Life. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter at MusicForLifePCG for links, extra resources, and announcements. Today we are discussing music for seasons, the four standard seasons of spring, summer, autumn, and winter, as they've been depicted in compositions throughout music history. That was Frühling, or Spring, by Richard Strauss, sung by Rene Fleming with the Houston Symphony Orchestra. And I use that as an example of winter. The song is about being in winter and longing for the return of spring. The orchestration so vividly depicted these seasonal elements. And finally, it's time for dessert, where we hear an example from the popular or folk tradition to end the program. This is a song from the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical State Fair. It's called It Might As Well Be Spring, which seems like a fitting end to our program today, Music for Seasons. Here it is, sung by the wonderful bass baritone Jubilant Sykes.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm, jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I'm starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I was somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I from a girl I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams, giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well.
You have been listening to Music for Life. From the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, I'm Ryan Malone. Thanks for joining me.